I'm Dorothy Wickenda. On today's Politics and More podcast, David Remnick talks with The New Yorker's Jane Mayer about H.R. 1, a bill that would expand voting rights nationwide. A leaked recording of a call with Republican strategists outlines the tactics conservatives are using to sink the bill, despite its popularity among both Democrats and Republicans.
H.R. 1 is probably the most important voting rights law since 1965. And if it's passed, and that's a very big if, H.R. 1 would bring automatic voter registration across the country. It would take on gerrymandering. And it would restore voting rights to felons who have served their time. But there's another aspect of H.R. 1 that we didn't talk about last week, and that's campaign financing. So-called dark money could be dark no more. Political groups would have to make their big donors public. And for those people behind dark money PACs, people like conservative super donor Charles Koch, that provision of H.R. 1 is very bad news. Back in January, before the inauguration, a group of political strategists had a meeting to discuss H.R. 1. Staff writer Jane Mayer got her hands on a leaked recording of that meeting.
When I first heard this recording, I nearly fell off my chair, I have to admit. Gathered together on this call were the leaders of a number of powerful conservative groups. They included a group that was run by Charles Koch, who happens to be one of the very biggest donors of dark money in American history. And with them were representatives from the office of a couple of Republican members of Congress, including Mitch McConnell's office. And one of the people who was on the call was Grover Norquist, who is a longtime crusader against taxes and the founder of a group called Americans for Tax Reform.
The left is not stupid, they're evil. They know what they're doing, and we need to take part of our day, whether we're focused on taxes or spending or whatever piece of the freedom movement we work on, understand that the donor privacy issue is our fight too.
What they're focusing on is the legislation known as H.R. 1, because what it does is provide for disclosure for the first time of donors that are giving more than $10,000 to nonprofit groups if their money is going towards electoral politics. It also requires much more disclosure of ads on television and digital platforms. And for the first time, it requires that people who are giving more than $10,000 to affect judicial nominees, that they too explain to the public who they are so that the public can judge what they might want. Now, this kind of disclosure is a problem for one group of people, which is secret donors who don't want to be known, who for the last decade, for the most part, have funded right-wing organizations and causes. Now, not all the dark money goes only to the Republican side. For the first time in 2020, interestingly, there was more dark money that was being spent by Democratic groups in the presidential election than the Republican ones. For Koch, however, this is really a paramount concern because he's really got an entire political machine that is funded by dark money.
But when it comes to donor privacy, I can't stress enough how quickly things could get out of hand.
Steve Donaldson is a policy advisor to Mitch McConnell.
Grover mentioned earlier how the left has already identified that they want to punish anybody that was involved in the last 4 years. So we have to hold our people together. And this is not just a rhetorical exercise anymore of countering their arguments, but you guys have to actively work to highlight these issues to members of Congress so that we don't lose people on these issues.
It's not uncommon in Washington politics for these kinds of conversations to take place. There is supposed to be a legal line, though, however. These nonprofit groups under the law are supposed to be nonpartisan. And here you can hear them conferring and coordinating with the Republican leadership in Congress. And what really makes this call unique is that you're hearing them speak candidly in a way that you almost never do.
Yep, I'm going to pull up just a few slides as a research person. I'm sure you're looking forward to them.
What really grabbed my attention here is the internal research done by Kyle McKenzie of Stand Together. Now, that's a Koch organization. And what they were looking at is how HR1 was playing with the public.
And a little bit of a spoiler, but it's very mixed results on that front. The first thing is simply that you have to understand that most people have never heard of the phrase HR1. So over 60% of people just had no idea what we were talking about when we said, have you ever heard of HR1? However, when presented with a very neutral description of HR1, people were generally supportive. And the most worrisome part, which Grover mentioned at the very beginning of his presentation, is that conservatives were actually as supportive as the general public was when they read the neutral description of HR1. And so this isn't just a matter of like finding conservatives and then activating them on this in a public way. You know, there's a very large chunk of conservatives who are supportive of these types of efforts.
It wasn't just liberal Democrats who believe that there should be more campaign finance disclosure about big money running into politics. What they discovered was that conservatives felt the same way. Their own voters, it turns out, think there should be more transparency and disclosure. So grappling with this, McKenzie is trying to figure out something positive he can say to the other conservatives about how they can handle what for them is a problem.
Don't get into a fight in HR1 where you engage with the other side where they have the talking points. HR1 stops billionaires from buying elections. Unfortunately, we found that is a winning message. That simple message, far and away, resonated with people and you know, riled them up the most. Perhaps most sadly, on the don'ts column here, and this is a major reason we undertook this research, was just to simply test whether the phrase cancel culture could be attached to HR1 and using that to motivate the right. You know, our phrase was something very akin to HR1 is the left's attempt to use cancel culture to cancel conservatives, something like that. And it really ranked in the bottom, obviously for the general public, but even for conservatives as well. For conservatives specifically, we just tested an AOC message that, you know, she has shared publicly that she wants to hold people in the Trump administration accountable. What she means by that is unclear, and we were honest about that in the message.
So this was weird. Why were they bringing up the name of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? She's only one of zillions of sponsors of HR1, but I mean, it seemed pretty clear that they just wanted to try to tie her name to this legislation because she's kind of a boogeyman for the conservative movement, and they were hoping that maybe she'd scare off their voters.
It did, you know, move 0% of liberals, as to be expected, and it moved about 31% of Republicans to kind of change their point of view about HR1 when they were shown this kind of story about how AOC wants to hold them accountable and that HR1 would allow her to do that a lot more easily.
So basically, they can't find an argument that really kills HR1, at least in the public's view, and that includes among conservatives. So then what are they going to do? They're going to give up on the voters' will. And instead, what they're going to do is pursue what they describe as under the dome type strategies, which are those under the congressional rotunda's roof, meaning inside backroom strategies where they can put the fix in with Republican members of Congress. Steve Donaldson, though, who works for McConnell, sounds a cautionary note, though.
My big ask to a lot of the groups that are on this call is do not just look at individual component parts and think this doesn't apply to us, or we're okay with this, or we can live with this.
He warns that it's possible that the Democrats, even if they can't get the whole bill, might try to break it up into pieces. He's basically saying, kill any single piece of this bill that looks like it might survive.
Just because one of these bills may seem reasonable to you does not mean that it is not part of a grand scheme to undermine the privacy of your donors and to inhibit the ability of you guys to do what you do.
So what does this all mean? I mean, basically, when you think about it, these old powers in the establishment Republican Party, what they're grappling with is there's change afoot. There's a new mood out in the country, and even conservative voters have gotten to the point where they too think there's too much money in American politics. Whether they're on the left or the right, they're disgusted with the idea that billionaires are buying elections. And there's a kind of a rebellion. And what you can see here is that the powers in the Republican Party, that is people like Mitch McConnell and Charles Koch and Grover Norquist, they really don't care what the public thinks. They don't even necessarily care what their own voters think. They want to stay in power, and they're going to do whatever they can to stay there.
Staff writer Jane Mayer. She's the author of the book Dark Money, and you can find her reporting at newyorker.com.